If you're an education leader or visionary for improving our school mental health system, then you're in the right place. I'm your host, Charlie Peck, keynote speaker and school mental health consultant. Make sure you download our free school mental health audit at thrivingeducator.org/audit to assess your current system with your mental health team. Now that's thrivingeducator.org/audit. Make sure you pick that up. All right, let's get started with today's episode. Hi, this is Charlie from the Thriving Educator Podcast, and I'm excited to have Dr. Matthew Woods here today. We're going to talk about bullying and how to systemically fix this problem. We can do that, right? Is that right, Dr. Woods?
I'm going to give out some strategies. I don't want to say I'm going to be the expert to say this is the one and done, but I'm going to do my best.
Well, I'm really glad you're here because there's so many exciting things going on with you. You have Leading Out the Woods, the podcast, which is a great success. I love, love, love your episodes. You've got kids' books. You've got a new book. I mean, what are we going to talk about here? Let's talk about all the things you're doing first so people know which lens you're coming in with.
Gotcha. So, yeah, I appreciate it, Charlie. Thanks for having me on here. My background is a classroom teacher through a building administrator and district administrator. And, you know, even at the college and university level has really kind of given me a unique perspective on a lot of different things regarding education. Right. But there are a lot of things that are very similar, no matter if we're working with a young person who is just gracing our presence, you know, that preschool 5-6 year old range all the way up to the kids. And I say kids loosely, but even 18, 19, 20 year olds, you know, that college who think they're grown, but they're still trying to learn their way. Right. There are a lot of similarities, and a lot of the work that you talked about that I've been able to compose and put together stems out of that from, you know, the children's books, which were inspired by my son, and making sure that he has positive images in front of him, especially since he is biracial, and you don't see many biracial children's books or books that would really reflect my family, his family. So him having that kind of positive imagery, but then also extending that out to other folks. And like I said, those books have been amazing. We actually have an eighth book in the series getting ready to come out. I Want to Be an Astronaut. So that should be coming out in the next month or so. Not putting any pressure on my illustrator if they're listening. But then you had referenced the new book that we just came out with, which I'm super excited about. Leading Out the Woods, Nurturing School Etiquette for Success. It is, I guess, the first in the series of several resources that I'll be coming out with that are geared primarily towards educators. So teachers, counselors, administrators, district administrators. But it talks about this philosophy of school etiquette. And what I mean by that, Charlie, and I know you'll appreciate it, is for a lot of us, sometimes we make assumptions that kids should know how to act when they come into classrooms, when they come into schools. That if I say, you need to be respectful, my assumption is everybody knows when I say respect or respectful, we all have the same working definition. Right. If I tell a young person, please stop being defiant, please don't be insubordinate, that they understand what I'm talking about. So the book talks a lot about my experiences. It talks about some of the resources we've made. And it's just been amazing. I know we were talking before the recording, but the feedback that I've been getting from schools and districts and the folks who got to review the book beforehand. And so it's just been, these last couple of weeks for me have been just really a whirlwind.
It is a whirlwind. And there's merit to that. That's why. And clearly this is a need. We need to understand what school etiquette is and teach kids exactly what they need to know so that they can thrive within the system. And we're talking about bullying today, and a lot of kids get isolated because of behaviors they're doing that is definitely against the norm. They stick out for some reason, or they don't do enough to fit in. So there's a lot going on in the system. So where do you want to go with this? Because I know that you have a lot of insight. What do you want to focus on with this bullying problem we've got?
I think the first thing we have to do, and it's ironic, like I said, when you had reached out to me to hop on here, it's actually one of the things I cover in my book. It's actually one of what I call the 26 key terms for etiquette success. So when we say bullying, we have to make sure that everybody has a working, correct definition of what bullying is. And the reason why that's important is because we have to make sure that we have clear and consistent language when we're saying this is what is bullying, right? If we're going to be able to respond to it, we all have to make sure we're responding to the same exact thing. So it's very important that people understand, for example, the difference between bullying and harassment, because a lot of times those get intertwined and they're actually different, okay? So if we say harassment is unwelcome conduct that keeps occurring. That would be considered harassment. Now, bullying is when you have a repeated aggressive behavior intended to harm someone. So they're similar, but they're different. Mm-hmm. And I make sure to emphasize that to teachers, to administrators, because a lot of times when we talk about parents and we talk about kids, the first thing they'll say is, Charlie messed with me. They're bullying me.
Mm-hmm. Right.
No. Is it repeated? Well, then we have to make sure everybody understands, what do we mean by repeated behavior? Because it could be unwelcome conduct that's happened multiple times. And remember, that's not bullying, that's harassment. So what then has made it bullying? Well, the bullying aspect is if it's aggressive behavior. Okay, well, what's the difference between me messing with you and it being aggressive behavior, right? So I think you can kind of see where I'm going with this.
Yeah,
and I do this with folks a lot, because then people start giving examples. Okay, well, kind of like this, right? Or Matt, kind of like this. I'm like, exactly. So then when you have a working definition and it's clear in your mind, it's easier for me to then respond to a situation or situations that have occurred if someone is saying, I'm being bullied, I'm being harassed, or so forth. And you can properly assess the situation, but most importantly, provide the support and the help they need to respond accordingly.
Yeah, it is important to do that. So what are you seeing more of? Do you see more of harassment, more of bullying, or more of some jerky remarks that really aren't targeting or harassing?
I see a lot of people who just aren't clear on what it is. Like, and that becomes the problem, right? Because then you're trying to unpack it. You're trying to unload it, right? Because then when you talk about diving into the data, right? Mm-hmm. Well, just because someone says it's bullying doesn't mean it's bullying. So right. Then you know, it's one of those things like, okay, I got all these bullying incidents. Well, no, they're really not bullying incidents. You know, people didn't have the clear definition. So let's make sure we're all on the same page there. So to me, Charlie, that's actually the number one issue that I always see. And even for the listeners out there, even before I said the definitions, so I don't know if we could kind of splice that in on the editing. Maybe we could start it off and say, hey, on a sheet of paper, you write down what the definition of bullying is and the definition of harassment. And really have folks kind of think like, do you know the proper definitions before then you start responding to them and so forth, right? So to me, that's the biggest. I would say the second one that's kind of tied up in there is with social media, right? Social media can be good and bad. You know, it's a tool. You know, I tell people all the time, you know, a tool can be used for good and for bad. And I would say when we talk about either bullying or harassment, one of the things, at least in my perspective, that I've seen a lot of is people are very quick to respond, and sometimes in a very negative way, using social media, because I can hide, right? I can hide behind the keyboard. I can hide behind the tablet. I can make a fake caricature or a picture, and you really don't know. It's like somebody doesn't like me, but I really don't know. Is that matters? Some, you know, and because of that, you have to do a little bit more, in my opinion, investigation sometime. And you really have to kind of look into it to make sure like, hey, are we talking about bullying? Are we just talking about harassment? Because both are still wrong and bad, But there's still different ways that we would respond accordingly to minimize or to prevent those things from possibly occurring again.
So what do you do in a situation when a kid isn't intending to harass and isn't intending to bully, but they're not communicating well? They're lacking skills, and so it's coming off as that. And you find out their intention isn't bad, but it's creating big problems. I guess I ask that because I understand that kids do bicker, or they're good hearted, but it does come across in a negative way and the other kid does get hurt. How do you mitigate that? What do you do about something like that?
Well, it starts with, and I want to tell the listeners out there too, when we talk about, in this case, behavior or discipline, a lot of the same components and tenets we would use for academic instruction, right? So when we're talking about our ABCs and 1-2-3s, right? Those tenets should still be used when we talk about behavior and discipline. And so what is the first thing then? Let's kind of step back. What is the first thing when any good instructor knows or educator knows? Kids have to know what you're talking about. You have to be able to communicate clearly, and they have to be able to interpret what you're saying clearly. Okay, well, what's one of the number one ways we've done it? And we've done this since the beginning of time, right, Charles? And it probably won't change. Mm-hmm. Academic language, kids have to know what the words mean. If I say bird, you should know what a bird is. If I say the floor, you should know what the floor, like there's certain terms that like you just have to know, you have to pick up on, right?
Right.
Behavior is no different. Discipline is no different. Kids have to know working definitions of these terms. So that's where you have to start. I have to assess, like, do you really know? Like, Charlie, I'm talking to you. Honey, do you understand what you did to Matt? Why that's wrong? Now, remember, as an educator, like I said at the beginning, right, I have to already know the definitions. So I have to make sure I'm first clear on, in this case, bullying and harassment. So then I'm talking to you and I'm saying, you know what, Charlie, based on what I see here, what Matt's telling me, this is harassment. Do you know what harassment is? That should be my first. Do you know what harassment is? And I should listen to what you're saying. Mm-hmm. So right there, I'll be able to see, like, do you know what harassment is? You know, or is your definition so way off? I'm like, okay, now we got a problem, right? Mm-hmm. So then what should be the next response? And I know I'm kind of jumping around, but I want the listeners to kind of think of it through an instructional lens. Okay, well, when we're assessing, in this case, language or definitions, I want to ask you your definition. Then what should I do? I should tell you what the definition is. Harassment is this. This is harassment. And this is what you've done to constitute harassment. Do you understand? Well, then I'm going to get your feedback. Do you understand? Am I clear? Okay, well, even if you say, in this case, yes, what does any good educator then do? Well, then I assess that you understand what I'm talking about. Well, how would I assess it? Well, there's a lot of different ways I can do that. We can then start breaking down, in this case, the action or actions that you display for harassment. Mm-hmm. Charlie, can you repeat it back? So tell me, Charlie, then. So when I'm saying harassment, and you just told me as well, it's unwelcome conduct that keeps occurring. What is the conduct that you've been doing? In this case, well, you know, I keep saying that Matt has a big head. And I'm not trying to be mean. I mean, he do got a big head, right? That might be your, and I'm like, okay, but you see how it's become harassment. Because he doesn't want you to do that. He's already said, please stop, but you keep walking by saying big head. Now, obviously there would be more that I would go into to look into to investigate, right? But that's when on the opposite side, I would follow up with Matt and say, well, Matt, it's not bullying. It's not bullying. Charlie's just been harassed. And this is why. Now this wrong, and we're going to address it. Here's how we're going to address it. But I hope that kind of example real quickly just kind of shows how you would obviously, and for the listeners out there, it wouldn't be that quickly, you know, depending on the age of the kid, right. Lord knows we got elementary kids. You're going to take a little bit more time, you know, Woods is just giving you the quick blurb version, but you do that. So that way the kid really understands what you're talking about. You're still addressing the situation, but you're making sure you've built in that language of what you're talking about. You've assessed, they understand what you're talking about, because then you actually have something to measure moving forward. If it happens again, well, then you have to start questioning, okay, this kid is intentionally trying to do stuff. So then that harassment in that example might then start bleeding over into bullying. Mm-hmm. And we would address it differently, because now, Charlie, you're making a choice to do it, because mm-hmm. I've properly educated you on the differences and why.
Got it. So that now becomes targeted and it becomes intentionally harming, because you know yes. that person doesn't want that to happen. That's been communicated. So they've now crossed a different line.
Yes.
I see. So educating them, having the conversations, that is essential. So how important is it to have conversations with everybody in the building, and will that stick and work to make sure everyone's educated with those terms properly?
You have to, and that's why for your listeners out there.
Hello, middle-level educators. Are you looking for a nationwide type of conference at the fraction of the cost? The North Carolina Association for Middle-Level Education welcomes you to Charlotte, North Carolina, March 24th through the 26th for the 2024 NCMLE Inspire Conference. My name is David James, NCMLE Marketing and Conference Director, and I want to personally invite you to our annual conference. You will not want to miss our keynote and featured speakers that leads over 120 middle-specific teaching and learning sessions. Our featured lineup includes EDU experts from across the country, such as principal and leadership expert Baruti Kefele, Darren Peppard, LaQuanta Nelson, Zach Bauermaster, and the host of this podcast, educational expert Charlie Peck. The NCMLE Inspire Conference is for everyone. Go to ncmle.org to register your team for the 2024 NCMLE Inspire Conference today.
And even if you're not in a leadership role, right? Even, you know, I know, you know, you might just be a social worker or a counselor or a teacher, and, you know, you do have some level of things you can control, but there's some things that are outside your spectrum, right? You, in this case, have to advocate for folks to have common language. And what will happen is, especially in this case, if we're talking about bullying, well, different things can happen that can constitute as bullying. So then you have to start realizing, okay, are some of these behaviors that kids possibly might be doing that I'm seeing, do we all have the same working definition? So that when we're saying, you know what, we know what bullying is, but when I see that behavior and it's being repeated like that and it's aggressive, yep, that is exactly bullying. Because you want to make sure everybody is on the same page. And I'll give you an example. We see this a lot, especially back in the day. We've learned a lot over the years about what I like to say, tough love. And for a lot of us on here, listeners, if you came up like me and you're an athlete, there were certain things that Lord knows coaches and things would say to us then that you would not say to kids now. Yeah. We just know better.
That's right.
for like we just know, like, that's not really quote unquote how you toughen somebody up, right? Mm-hmm. You could make a very strong and fair argument that some of the things that used to happen in the past with athletes could be constituted as bullying. Some of the things that people would say and do, you could actually say, you know what, that's bullying. I mean, that right there is a textbook bullying. Now, I say that to say, I was one of those, I guess, kids you could say who kind of came up through that era. And for some of those things that even now I know as an educator, like, I don't know if Coach really said that to me. They saying they're going to make me run till I throw up. I don't really know if that's really what they meant, right?
Right.
But there were so many valuable life lessons and skills that I learned that even if you said, hey, you know, so-and-so, Matt, they bullied you. No, they did. I needed that. Maybe now... That might not be appropriate to say to other people based on some of the trauma they might have experienced or things that occur. So, like, someone shouldn't just blurt things out like that, right? You know, I want to make sure I put that out there because you have to know your audience, right? But I say that to say it's very important because if we all have common language, and work in definitions, we can then really start to unpack, in this case, those type of behaviors. Because, you know, when coach is doing that, we might need to talk to him because that could blur the line. But he's really not being aggressive. He actually has a method. He or she has a method to what they're doing. But we need to educate them to show them this could be perceived as aggressive to certain populations based on their needs and what they're doing. And that is a very different conversation with people and gets people in my experiences on board with what you're doing compared to just saying, you shouldn't say that. You shouldn't talk to kids like that anymore. You shouldn't say that to people anymore, right? Because then it seems confrontational when you're talking to groups. But when everyone says, hey, here's the definition, here's how we're going to unpack it and work through it, let's talk about how our actions could be perceived or not perceived by this. Then you can start having some real significant change. And once all of us are on the same page, right, it's easier for us to reinforce it and do that with our students.
Yeah, there's a lot to cover with that because it can show up in many different pockets in the education system. And unfortunately, some kids kind of get lost in that system. And if adults aren't looking out for them, then it might get missed. And that's my concern. But my concern is also for the kid who's actually doing the bullying, believe it or not, because that kid either doesn't have the language or they aren't understanding how they can properly express themselves, their needs or their frustrations. And so they're putting themselves in a position where they're going to be labeled a bully or someone who's harassing, and that can stay with them for their life too. So I'm concerned about all the kids involved and then all the adults who need to have an eye on it. A lot of times it happens right underneath our noses as educators. We have no idea, none. And it's not because we're jerks and we don't care. Kids are really sneaky about it. Also, a lot happens outside of the school, you know, at home, online. Then they bring it into the school and then other kids are ostracized. So I guess what I'm saying is of course, it's a tough situation, right? So what are your thoughts? I know that you're thinking something.
Well, I'd say to folks a lot, I like to throw it back to people and say, tell me exactly what you want, right? What exactly, you know, a lot of times when someone's upset and they ramble, right? Because they're frustrated, they're thinking through. I'm a very big, I just usually say, okay, I'll hear you out. But Charlie, tell me exactly, what exactly are you asking? What exactly do you want to, or do you want to see happen, right? And generally I'll hear, I want that kid suspended. I want that kid gone. Okay, easy, done. Well, and that throws, what do you mean it's done? Okay, no, bullying's bad. Harassment's bad. There's consequences. More than likely, it'll be a suspension. Okay, easy part. I tell people, that's the easy part.
Yeah.
The hard part is everything that you just said. Okay, well, the child's going to return or after the consequence, if it is a suspension or not, but we'll just say in this case, it's a suspension, right? Okay, well, the child's coming back, then what?
Right.
Well, if they do it again, we suspend them. Okay, then we suspend them again. Then they come back. So that's going to be our solution. Like that, you know, the data, and I think, you know, I don't want to bore your listeners, but anyone could Google that now, the data support, that just doesn't work. You know, like you're removing them from a situation for a time period. But you have to do something to try to minimize that happening again. So like you're saying, that's that education part. Now, what I was talking about earlier, and like I said, I know we had talked about a little bit too before the recording, but what's referenced in my book is, and you would see in the book, there's a picture where I talk about consequences and I talk about what you have done beforehand. And then God forbid, if something does occur, what you do after. Generally, most people don't think about either one. Okay. Look, Matt did something. Let me just do something. Consequence. Then some folks, small percentage, then they say, okay, but you know, man, I've kind of thought about this. If Charlie or Matt does this, here's kind of some resources, strategies, things I'm thinking, you know, that we would do. Okay. But then the very few people I work with, Charlie, right? Then I always say, okay, well, tell me what you did beforehand. What did you do beforehand? So we're talking about bullying, right? Tell people all the time. We've all seen bullying. And are anyone, even if, you know, I don't care if you're public school, private school, homeschool, don't care how old you are, your background. When someone starts talking about the definition of bullying, you can be like, yeah, I've either experienced it or I've seen it, or God forbid, some of the listeners, you might have been one bullying, right? But either way, you've interacted with it. But then I tell people, explain to me when someone actually taught you the work, the definition of bullying.
Right.
Then explain to me when folks talk to you about strategies to prevent it. Usually it's crickets. So I'm like, well, then right there, that's why we still have a bullying issue. I tell people, then now you're trying to put out a fire that started instead of watering the ground to prevent that fire from even being lit in the first place. Like there are things that we can do, like you're referencing, Charlie, to not only help the unfortunate young people who experience bullying and harassment, but then also do things to, when we notice behaviors and tendencies of kids, to go, wait a second, I really need to work with Matt and Charlie. Like, I need, because I'm seeing some stuff here that I can see how this doesn't get corrected, spinning in us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so systemically, it sounds like clearly we need to educate everybody about what they are, what it looks like, what are a couple other strategies that we can use to prevent this from happening? And then when it does happen, to help kind of soften the blow for both parties, for everybody involved, really.
Some strategies, say that part one more time.
Yeah, so let's do the first one. Let me do one at a time. So let's talk about one strategy for prevention. And I think you've already mentioned about education. That's huge. Is there anything tangible people can walk away with today and just start doing tomorrow so that we can prevent bullying for real?
The first one is educating the masses. You have to, in this case, when we talk about some of these terms, you just need to push it out to families. Push it out. Bullying is bad. I'm going to so give a small plug for everybody. Bullying and Charlie, I'm going to get you later. You're making me give tidbits from my book. But like, what I talk about is just communication. So like, easy one. Bullying is bad. Harassment is bad. Families, please talk to your kids about why that is. And then you give them the definitions. So for educators, you give them the definitions. This is bullying. This is harassment. Now, let's be transparent. Will all families then share that with their kids? No. No. Right? It will be, even if you get half of them to do that. All right? So we're just going to be rough. We're going to say, for every two kids, one of the families talks to their kid about it. Or say, hey, your principal Wood sent this, da 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 da. Hey, make sure you ain't messing with people at school. You know, bullying is blah, blah, blah. Harassing, blah, 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 right? Mm-hmm. Okay? So then get to school. Something happens. First thing you do with the child. Did you see what we sent you, Charlie, about bully harassment? Yes, sir. Okay, so now you know what you did was wrong. Yes. Can you tell me why? Because kids will still make mistakes, right?
Sure.
But it's very easier to not only just explain a consequence, but like I tell administrators, it's easier to give a consequence when the person who did the infraction can tell you what they did wrong. Mm-hmm. They're not going to cuss you out. They're not going to catch your attitude. A lot of times they get attitude, they're just mad because they got caught. But then they're like, okay, I understand. Well, then you talk to the family. So let's say in this case, you talk to the parents. They're like, yeah, I'm aware. They told me, oh, I can't believe they did this. I told them, thank you for letting me know. We'll help reinforce it. You could get that. Or you could get, yeah, you know, you did send that out, Dr. Woods. I really didn't pay attention to it. Well, I'm now concerned because Charlie's done this. I'm going to give this to you again. I would need your help reinforcing that. Okay. Then you do what? You putting it back in the parents' hand and the kids' hand. And you're holding them accountable as well. So to me, that's that first level. Everybody can do that. Mm-hmm. Everybody can do that. That is the first level because it's easier to then start to assess, do you have a, like I think you said earlier in the recorded, a systemic problem? Like, do you have a bullying or harassment problem at your school? If you keep seeing this as a problem after you have done that, you have a legitimate problem that now you need to really start unpacking your data and see, like, what exactly is going on here? Why am I having such a big issue? On the flip side, if you do this, you might realize, you know what? I've quelled a lot of issues. I don't have all these people saying every time somebody's met somebody, it's just bullying or just harassing. Because now what have you done? Everybody understands exactly what bullying and harassment is. So if an issue does occur, they know how to properly advocate for themselves and tell you what's going on. And then most importantly, then you can direct the resources appropriately to respond.
Yeah, the communication is really key, isn't it? It's the understanding, the application of it, observing it, documenting is huge, but we want to be preventative, but let's be honest, when it's happening, we've got to be able to document. And it does sound very important that we have kids advocate for themselves. Now, we know that that's tough for a lot of kids, but it is important. Like, there is a little ownership there. So if a kid is being teased or a kid is being treated a certain way that they don't like and they say nothing, we've now created victimhood, and that's not healthy either. So if you don't tell people you don't like something, you create yourself as a target. Now, listen, I'm looking out for kids. Don't get me wrong. It's not right. But we do have to have that piece of it too. I recognize that. We got to look out for each other though. Sometimes we have no idea it's happening. So I think we need to have the awareness that we just need to pay better attention to as the adults around these kids.
We do. And one of the things too is, and I hear this a lot, we say in this case to kids all the time, you need to advocate for yourself. But then I always say, when I hear people say that, and I actually did this at a workshop I led recently, I heard people say, we talk about it, kids have to advocate for themselves. Kids have to advocate for themselves. Okay, kids have to advocate for themselves. So happened to be doing some walkthroughs with this principal, walked out there, and I said, so kids advocate for, yep, we tell the kids all the time. So I say, excuse me, Charlie, can I speak to you a second? Sure. So your principal teachers tell me here, they tell y'all when something happens to advocate for yourself. Yep, yep. Dr. Woods, we advocate for ourselves. What does advocate mean?
Right.
I don't know. And this is true story. Young ladies, I don't know. They just tell me to advocate.
Yeah.
And I use that example because that is why I always harp it back to the root. And the root is common language. You're using words and terms. And I tell people you're building things up, even if in this case, right? This administrator I was working with, they have great systems. I said, hey, your systems aren't the problem. The problem is now I'm starting to ask kids, tell me what bullying means. They can't tell me. Tell me what harassment means. They can't tell me. So you've got all these cool systems, but people don't really know what you're talking about. So now it's more of pressure on your counselors, your teachers, your social workers, on you, on other folks, because you're thinking, hey, none of this stuff is working. But you really don't know if it's working because people can't actually properly advocate. And how can you properly advocate? It starts with common language. It starts by making sure everyone understands exactly what I'm saying. Because if people can do that, I told them, all those kids that you're telling me are shy, or those kids that can't do this, they will then know what to do and how to do it. But right now, they are going to be timid and shy. Because you're telling them, hey, you need to advocate and speak up for yourself. How can I speak up if I don't know what to say and how to say it?
That's right. How to say it, what to say. And by the way, there's a fear factor here, of course, if kids tell on each other, you know that they're fearful of the repercussions of that. That is a real problem. So we have to show them that they can send a simple email and that way it's documented too, for crying out loud. But what keeps them from doing that? So there's a lot more we can dissect there, but it is about language. It does keep coming back to, I hear you on that. It is essential that we get the very, very basics right.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Have that foundation before you build anything else.
Say that one more time so we don't miss it.
You have to have the foundation before you build anything. If you're building a house, what's the first thing you start with? Foundation. You can't just build something on the third story if you haven't properly leveled the ground, put the cement down, have that solid foundation to build everything else up.
You got it. Yeah. And it's, gosh, we can't reiterate that enough. So Is there anything else that you think we're missing from this conversation? I know that there's a lot to take, but what do you think?
No, I mean, you're spot on. There is so much. And I know that, like I said, we could continue to talk about this and expand on it, because there's, you know, bullying is just, there's a lot to unpack. But the thing I just want to reiterate and leave with the listeners, you just need to first make sure everybody understands the difference between bullying and harassment. That should be the number one thing. Everybody around you, hey, we're all going to make sure we know it like the back of our hand. Then, most importantly, we're going to make sure our young people, our families, understand the proper definition of bullying and harassment. And then from there, like you said, we can truly start to assess and figure out what are things, because I love the example that you just said. Well, then we might realize, okay, everybody now is clear on this, but we don't really have a proper system for those kids who are actually shy and don't want to actually verbally say it to us. Okay, well now, and that could be like a different episode where we talk about like systems. Now we actually have to have some systems in place for that group of kids. Mm-hmm. But once again, we can't get there. We can't put the cart before the horse if when they are, in this case, sending us this email saying someone is bullying us, but then we look into it and go, no, it's actually harassment. Mm-hmm. And now we have to work through unpacking. Let me explain to you the difference. We should do that part up front and then start putting the systems in place for everything else.
Yeah. Wow. Well, thank you. My goodness. It's great perspective. It's a great message too, Dr. Woods, truly. And can you please tell people when they can get your book and where? Because I know they're going to want to dive into that.
Appreciate it. Like I said, Charlie, thank you again. I know we were talking about, I love your show. I'm definitely an active listener as well. I would tell the listeners, if you want to check out the book, it's available on Amazon. Like I said, Leading Out the Woods, Nurturing School Etiquette for Success. Or easy way, if you just visit my website, www.leadingoutthewoods.com. Click on the tab School Etiquette. You can find the book. We have a lot of different resources based on the amount of feedback we've been getting. So we've got the flashcards, we've got the posters, we've got a companion guide. A lot of things on there in relation to the book. So www.leadingoutthewoods.com. Click on the tab School Etiquette. Take you right to everything.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's all in the notes too from the show. You can access everything there too. Thank you so very much for being here and talking about this important topic.
All right. Thank you, Charlie.
Did you get your school mental health audit yet? You can get it at thrivingeducator.org/audit. And if you're working on mental health PD planning, check out all the ways we can support you while you're there on our website already. It's just under professional development. And listen, if you found value in today's episode, please share it in your network for those who will benefit. And if you could give it a rating and review it, that would be great. We really appreciate you. Thanks for listening.